Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Oh, wow. Kelly, I think it's important that the world knows that some kind of major things have been happening, like very close to us recording today.
So yeah.
I think we just want to throw out there that whenever this is being listened to, just know that there's some stuff going on.
Yeah.
We're going to be curious. We're going to really get into some amazing conversation. Our guest is extraordinary.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for us. We're doing a lot with energy, and I think it's important that we're honest about where we're at today.
Yeah, today's a funky day. Like I will say, and today's a funky day. And you know, a mantra that I say every morning when I wake up is today I ask for optimal outcomes. And by asking for optimal outcomes, you're not asking for a fast pass. You're not asking for something to, you know, not happen that's not aligned, but that things happen optimally. So when we have this is our second try of recording the show, you realize that things could be so much worse. And we ask for just alignment, and our guides and spirits and angels and whoever else wants to help us today. Let's just have today be an amazing show. And we are blessed that you're with us, and we're blessed that you're listening to our adventure and what's about to unfold. Our little show that's growing. Oh my God, we have five listeners now.
Oh my gosh. I think we might hit six because our guest today.
Yeah.
Is amazing, and I can't wait to introduce her.
Go for it.
And something I just wanted to respond to that, Kelly, and I actually would really like to dive into this with our guest today. I heard someone say recently one of the most important things they figured out in their life, and I thought it was so perfectly said, was that we actually have a responsibility to know that life will always be pain, uncertainty, and constant work. And that actually gave me so much freedom to just baseline know, like I know that that's the truth. And at the same time, the sun is always shining. So no matter how bad the storm is, no matter if it's snowing or the craziness going on,
yeah,
literally above all that, the sun is always shining. So it's this, the way that that person said it and I listened to it, I thought, wow. That helped me a lot. And I think with what is going on, with what you shared, it's that can act as a real sail for our ship through this life. And I want to dive into this with our guest today, Janine Kim. She is a modern mystic. I can't wait to hear her perspective on how we've started this show. She's an intuitive healer. She's a 5D astrologer, yoga instructor, holistic health practitioner. And for over 22 years, she's been working with clients from all over the world, really supporting them into bringing through and activating their soul purpose in this lifetime, while actively naming and clearing the ancient wounds from their larger soul journey. So Janine Kim, welcome to our show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here with both of you today.
So one of the things that we love doing is you're obviously all those things that I just introduced you as, but there was a lot that happened before 22 years ago, right? So you've been on this professional path for 22 years.
Right.
But we want to get to know you as a person, and we'd love to understand maybe if you remember some of those early adventures in your life, could you pinpoint an experience that you had where as you reflect now you go, "Oh, well, that makes sense that I'm doing what I do now because at 5 years old this thing happened," or at 10. Walk us back into that part of your life, if you would.
Sure. Well, that's it's funny you should say around 5 years old, because that's kind of when things really started to kick into place for me. I had my mother and I were on our way to this function. I was born and raised in Chicago, but I was adopted through the cradle. And they used to have these like fundraisers. And so I was going with my mom, and we were going to be in little newspaper articles talking about the fundraiser. And on our drive there, I remember telling her about a dream that I had the night before. And in the dream, I saw the whole house. Like, I remember feeling like it had two little Christmas trees on either side of the garage, you know, evergreens, and the way the sidewalk went, the whole house. And we had never been there, and she's trying to find her way. And we pull up, and she just froze. She just froze, because I had described the whole entire house. And so I don't remember everything, the words, but I remember the feeling tone, and it was almost like not good, you know. It had to be scary for her, in her defense. Like, what is she doing? She just saw something that, you know, who can explain that? So that was one of my first experiences, with many to follow. Yeah.
And so you mentioned that you felt fear. Was that given to you by your mom? Like, were you kind of looking for some kind of validation for your experience through her, or was it intuitive that felt scary?
It was absolutely, it felt very much like that was not a good thing that it just happened there. So it was, I felt her fear for sure. You know, the contraction, that contraction energy. And so, you know, being a young child, loving that parent feedback, it was definitely something that, you know, you just kind of like, ooh, maybe that's not good. And you tuck it away a little bit. So, yeah.
And so at that time, you're very impressionable. Literally, you're creating the brain that you're going to carry, you know, in the programs throughout the rest of your life. And can you pinpoint that as a singular event that then basically determined how you reacted to your intuition, maybe even now, today, but certainly as you were trying to figure out who you are and what you want to do? Or were there multiple experiences of, this seems to be natural for me to see things, hear things, intuit things, but I need to suppress it because it's bad or scary?
That was the beginning that I can consciously remember for sure. And there were other instances after as well. And even little things where I would, you know, go out and just kind of wander the neighborhood as little girl, kind of how we did it back then. And, and, you know, I would come up to the neighbor's dog that was ferocious, but the dog would just not, you know, would just lick my face.
Be like,
and,
hello,
you know,
friend.
The dog that everyone was afraid of. And so it was tons of things that just, you know, you realize the response to people, everything becomes a little more internalized. And so even to this day, there's a little bit of that residue for sure still there. But, you know, now that I've done this work, and not to get too far ahead, I know now that the roots don't begin there. And this is the premise of my work. The roots are, these are absolutely built by other lifetimes. And so this was just kind of like a whiff of that entire meal. And so that whole fear pack just kind of came flooding in that moment. Yeah. Set me on my course for sure.
Something you said in our pre-interview contact is, being human is the most spiritual thing we can do. That resonated with me. But then I love this. You don't get your master's of driving in the snow by moving to Florida. Because like as a Chicago girl, as a Minnesota girl, like, no. And I have friends that are from North Carolina, and I invited them up to come and hang out in Minneapolis during the winter. And they're like, do I have to drive? Yeah, you have to drive. I don't know how to drive in snow. And I'm like, well, no better. Like, come on up here and enjoy it. So, I mean, like, seriously, and I don't even think about that. But even you being down in Santa Fe right now, if someone was just like, hey, it's time to go do this, it would be like, it's familiar because you're in a car and you know how to drive. But then the conditions are so different. And you have to look for things and experience things and that you normally wouldn't in your day to day in Santa Fe. So I'm kind of paralleling that to the whole human being spiritual. So tell us a little bit about that statement of being human is the most spiritual thing we can do, because a lot of people are not embracing their spirituality as the human experience. Yeah. So you're kind of doing this little that's totally natural and feels good, but kind of off to a lot of people just kind of live in the day to day.
Hey, well, you know, I feel as though, excuse me, our journeys as collective spirits, you know, as we move through the past few thousand years, particularly in the Piscean age, you know, we're now kind of stepping forth into a different age altogether, the Aquarian age, but that Piscean age was very spiritual. And so that progression of really kind of, rising above our own humanity, rising above our own emotion, rising above beyond the pain, you know, a lot of the ancient, you know, some of the practices, the sacred religious practices were very much about, you know, you are not your feelings, you know, transcend your body, the pain in the body. And that was a natural progression. I feel that now that we've mastered it, it's time to circle back around. You know, back then, the context of that information came where you had to kind of, the environment couldn't support that type of spirituality. So once you reached that higher spirituality, then you would die, right? But now this is 5D on the earth. So it's a frequency that's grounding us in. We're all being invited back to kind of loop that back around and get back into those emotions.
So tell us about 5D. I'm interjecting, but tell us about 5D, because I think a lot of our audience are really curious about the 5D experience. Right. But we're kind of the snow globe's been kind of shift up and everything's just kind of falling.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, 3D is a polarized reality that we must be in, love versus fear, very specifically. And then 5D is not leaving those. It's understanding how necessary the love and the fear are, and that actually fear is love as well. So 5D gets it, that it's all going to deliver us to this place. And when we can embrace both, then we let both of that live within us, and then we become the unified whole being that 5D is really all about.
Okay, we could do a whole show on that, Brian.
Yeah, the 5D conversation is definitely, there's a lot of people who are talking about this, and it's becoming, I think there's a lot more people who are awakening. And I think that's an important part of the work that you do, Janine, and you're probably very, very aware of it, that there's this opportunity right now for people like you to really step into and step forward into a much kind of brighter light than maybe you ever thought was going to happen, because the world just needs to hear the things that you know, and needs to be educated, and needs to be open to to a new reality that maybe hasn't really been available before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's this adventure you've been on called life, and you've shared that you are aware that past lifetimes have contributed to what's happening in your life today. But what happens from 5 to, you know, declaring to the world, I'm going to be a professional in this space, and I'm going to be in service to people? And just give us the first couple things that you'd share as we go into our first break here.
Okay, great. Well, for sure, I, you know, just went about life. Grew up in the 80s, and it was fabulous. It was tricky, though. I had a tricky home life, so I moved out fairly young. And so in that, I had to work. And I lived in Chicago at the time, born and raised. And so I got out and I worked. And I worked mostly in the financial industry. I had Series 7, Series 63. I was, you know, I did that for about 10 years. And I left as an IPO trader. back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But during that time in the 90s, I was still constantly drawn. It was the first time I found yoga. Like, I was doing yoga when I was younger. Again, like the lady in the taupe unitard on PBS was like my guru. All my friends are out catching frogs. That's, and I'm like doing yoga awesome. In my living room. Yeah, she's, oh, where if she's still out there, I remember her. And anyway, so I would still be drawn. I was wanting to be vegetarian. I was reading Shirley MacLaine books. I was doing yoga on my days off, in my high rise, going to work. And there was like an inner world that was just, I couldn't really share it with where I was at, who I was with. But then, you know, I went off the deep end and went for it. So,
okay. Pause that thought.
Yes.
Here we go. Next segment. Do you or someone in your family suffer from nightmares? Is your home cluttered and you can't seem to clear it out? Your home or office may have low vibrational energy, and it could be impacting you and your family. Using the ancient techniques of dowsing, Master Dowser Annette Regalo can raise the vibration of your home or office by identifying and curing stress lines and negative vortexes that may be creating disharmony in your home or office. Annette has over 20 years of dowsing experience and is passionate about creating high vibrational spaces for others to live and work. Contact Annette today at 612-394-3736 or AnnetteRegalo.com to schedule your free dowsing consultation. When you transform the energy of your environment, you transform your life. Remember, that's AnnetteRegalo.com. AnnetteRegalo.com. Embark on a journey of curiosity and self-discovery with the Edge Partner Directory. Are you curious about unlocking your potential, exploring mystical realms, or diving deep into the intuitive guidance? Look no further than the Edge Partner Directory. With our curated directory, you can explore transformative experiences that will elevate your consciousness, discover holistic wellness practitioners to nurture your well-being, and connect with intuitive guides who can illuminate your path to transformation. Whether you seek mindfulness practices, energy healing, metaphysical wisdom, or intuitive insights, our directory is your compass to enlightenment and self-discovery. Your higher consciousness and personal growth journey await. Visit edgedirectory.net and let your curiosity lead the way. Again, find the directory at edgedirectory.net. That's edgedirectory.net. edgedirectory.net. Oh my gosh.
Back,
you guys, if you're on Facebook Live watching this, you're just gonna be like, woo, 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 they're having a good day.
Getting a hoot. Well, Janine, we were really just getting into, you know, this part of your adventure. You said late 80s, late 90s, family life was disruptive, you left early. You got into the financial industry and you took a lot of steps to, you know, get certified, accreditation, whatever they refer to in that industry. I can imagine why you were drawn into yoga and these other modalities, because your internal state is one of intuition, is one of, I imagine, a very large capacity for empathy. And you're working in an industry that is not just naturally a different energy, but almost structured and praised to be on the other side of your natural energetic state. And so I think it'd be very interesting for our audience to hear what that was like for you, for an empathetic human being, to be working in the financial industry.
Kelly, thank you. I love that.
Okay, so just so everyone who's just listening knows what's going on, the reason why Janine was not able to just respond is Kelly, my beautiful, amazing partner in crime,
as Brian's trying to be all serious,
put something in the chat that made Janine just lose it for a second. So That, yeah. If you're listening, that's what happened. Because Kelly saw a picture
of a
samurai sword. I'm sure Janine with a samurai sword. And Janine thought that was very funny. So here we go.
Yes, I'm aware of him. Thank you, Kelly.
Okay, just checking.
I always tell him to watch that sword. I don't know what he's doing with it.
It's very sharp. It's very ornate. It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. okay, so to answer your question, Brian, it was, when I was in it, it was about survival for the longest time. And because I think just the nature of who I am and then also my upbringing, there was a lot of it that I could really, what I believed, could handle. You know what I mean? Like the harshness. It was rough. I mean, I was in, this is the 80s, 90s, and I was in a bond room. It was not unlike the movie, with Leonardo DiCaprio or like Wall Street or whatever you see. That's exactly
what I was thinking.
That was it. And it was at a time where the rules aren't what they are now. So I endured a lot. And I think deep in my soul, I'm just born as a revolutionary. So there were some tables that had to be turned at that time. But, and I had to take on also, that more of that young energy to survive, just to be there. And so I really had snuggled in and pushed down that yin, that feminine, that empathy in any way. And so again, it was little by little, I just couldn't contain it anymore. Things were bursting out at the seams, pretty much like you had said. And so I would do my own private practices of yoga after work, and I would read my own books, and I'd have my own flow. And these are the things that supported the hardships along the way. But then what happened is it started to get so big, I can no longer deny the discord between my inner world and my outer. Yes.
Janine, can I ask, this just came to me. I'm wondering if you so shut off or accommodated yourself to that environment that people only saw you and connected with you to the capacity that you were acting in that world? Or I got curious around, did all that male dominated, ego boosted kind of energy, was that actually drawn to you? And did you find that people would open up to you or kind of share moments of vulnerability within that system? It just kind of caught me like, wow, that's kind of an interesting, that would be a cool movie to make, right? So The Wolf of Wall Street was all a certain kind of volume. But what about the movie about this woman who was born an intuitive, an empath, all of these incredible capabilities, and she gets thrown into the mosh pit of a bond room. What happens there?
I was about to say, is my question to you is, and I'm seeing you on stage, like in Broadway, and you were like playing like the actress of your life. Did you go ultra sexy and use your gifts and abilities, or did you go? Or I see you either like wearing a leather skirt, and you're not wearing the leather skirt, but you know what I'm saying, just the pictures. I'm like, wearing the leather skirt, really working like what you were given in this life with your body. Or did you ultra masculine yourself wearing a lot of like suit jackets with the padding? And like, I either see you went one way or the other, and I'm kind of seeing more of the suit jackets and kind of like hiding and trying to be more playing the role of that masculine. And then also, by the way, you're a beautiful redhead, which I have this fond for the gingers of the world. I love them. They are special, special people. But there's a frequency of that as well. I mean, because on the floor, I don't want to say you stood out, but you stood out because you have not only your light, but then you also have this just beautiful about you. And I could see you almost kind of wanting to hide it a little bit to kind of protect you as your armor. Okay, I might be totally wrong, though.
So, well, you're not. My wingtips were my saddest thing
there you
I
go.
Had to get rid of. They were my J. Crew black wingtip shoes. And I did, when I left, I got the whole wardrobe out and pierced my nose and got a tattoo, of course, back late 90s, early 2000s, all in one day. So I didn't go back. But that's exactly what I had to do. I was even in denial of my gifts. They were, because they, to me, they were almost a threat to my stability. Not as consciously as I could speak it now.
Right.
But then I, you know, and plus coming from like where I grew up, and I have tons of younger brothers, and just, you know, it was a different mindset where, you know, crying, don't be a sissy, like the whole thing. Like these are the things that I heard growing up.
There's no crying in baseball. Come on.
Oh, I know. There's no crying. But now I can't even watch a commercial, and it's like floodgates. I just, you know, I'm really in touch with it because that's who right. I truly am.
Right.
But it took a whole many years of denying that to find my way. But luckily I was, I believe, truly programmed from the beginning where I couldn't, you know, kind of what you see is what you get with me after a while. I can only hold that under for so long. So
I've got to ask you, and I'm jumping just because it kind of like is like beating me over the head. You are a gifted astrologer, and I know there's a lot of learning and practice and dialing in and connecting the dots on that. I know there's a curiosity around, you know, we left 2022, we're in 2023. What insight do you have astrology, like astrologically, sorry, I can't speak. That's just awesome. For people this year, because Brian and I are blessed to get to speak with a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds in education and interests. And I have my gut feeling, but I'm really curious on what you're getting. And it's not just 23. I get 23, 24, 25, because 26, I think, is when there's going to be another little beautiful, we're just going to say beautifulness. So it's an adventure until then. And I think so many people are like, let's just hope that everything goes back to normal. But it's like, hello, friends. So I'm gonna stop talking. And what insight, if we're at a dinner party right now and we're like, oh, you're a gifted astrologist, what insight do you have for 2023? What would you say?
It's a great question.
Yeah, I know.
I have a group I call The Tribe, and I do, you know, monthly, yearly recordings, things like that for them. And the mantra for this year is called walking the talk, courage check, truth check, whole self balance check, walking the talk. And by the way, just a little side note, last year's mantra was called becoming Ronin, which is the samurai without the master. So a little nod to your vision, Kelly, of the samurai that you saw.
Cheers.
So it's there. It's always there. But yeah, this year is really about walking the talk. And it is very much that time span that you are sensing and feeling between now and 2026 is the almost like the changing of the guards in this new world. And this year, it's absolutely happening. We're having the back venue is changing. Pluto is changing signs from Capricorn into Aquarius from a short period of time. And Pluto is the great transformer. When it comes to your house, it is going to dig up the underbelly to show you what no longer works. And there's only so long that we could talk about it and imagine it in our mind or in our soul before we have to get it out of our mouth and through our actions and actually be the freedom that we want, be the autonomy that we want, and really show up and own our bodies, own our emotions. And we're going to get so many chances this year and next year. And Saturn is also another big hit, is Saturn is moving into Pisces. And Saturn again is like Len Goodman on Dancing with the Stars. He's the hard judge. You know, everybody's giving you a 10 and Len's like, no, you got some more there. And it's once in a 30-year cycle. And so last time this happened was the 90s. And then before that was the 60s. So it's a great time, you know, Saturn brings things into crystallization. So it's a great time to manifest music, ideals, visions, creativity. Great time. But it's also a time to get serious about your spirituality. And there's going to be a whole lot of endings. A whole lot of endings. And these are karmic endings where we're going to jump timelines and give ourselves an opportunity to no longer have to imagine changing our world, but actually doing it. So,
and breaking down like, a lot of that, those, I just keep seeing, it's like the Wizard of Oz Yes. The Wizard of Oz, it's like, okay, we need someone new. And it's not like killing the Wizard of Oz, but it's like we need to reconstruct the Wizard of Oz. Stick everything in a blender and then add some new thing and then like do, I'm sorry, Wizard of Oz, bad, bad graphic for that. But I just, it's like the behind the curtain. How do people join the tribe? Now you have me curious about that.
Oh, you just go to my website and it's right there. And there's a few different tiers. And one of it, you'll get all the recordings, all the discounts. And then the other two, you get also including the monthly channels that are made just for the people in the tribe, the energy of the people. It's also the, they get monthly readings, like 15-minute audio recordings. So we don't even have to set up an appointment. And I track you as you go with the 5D cosmic clock and, you know, just so to support how you're building your energy throughout the year.
Oh, that's fantastic. Also, everybody, by the way, she is also a part of the Edge Directory, edgedirectory.net. Check it out. Just it's a great resource. And I'm honored that we have our Santa Fe mystic involved and in supporting us from there. It's just fantastic. I'm really excited Thanks. About it. So anything else about that we should know astrologically for 2023? Because I don't think there's going to be I think a lot of people think it's going to be a hard cut December 31st. And I just really see it that we have a lot going on over the next couple of years and a lot that are going to be in the blender and reconstructed so we can take these tools. And isn't it like if you make Frankenstein, he's actually stronger being put back together than the way it was originally? And that's what's just kind of coming to me, how we can put things back together and really do it in control and in our space and in our honor. And I think that's just something, there's really power in it. Everyone needs to get rid of the fear and we just need to be like, let's do this.
This new world is coming from the inside out. So if there was a paradigm shift, it would be to perhaps stop maybe or invite yourself to do it from the grassroots, the inside out, as opposed to waiting for it to happen from the outside. And that doesn't mean it won't, but we're all energy, we're all frequency first. And when you be the change you want to see in the world, really break down those structures and those foundations that are tricky, that are the backdrop of your life. This is Pluto at the final degrees of Capricorn. Last time this happened, it was 1776.
The American Revolution.
Exactly.
Here we go. Like you guys, it's time to stop the talkie-talkie and let's make it happen.
Get into the walkie-walkie.
Get into the walkie-walkie. Okay, you guys, that's segment two wrapping up on an amazing show. Oop, drinking game. Amazing. Kelly and Brian and Kelly being curious, AM 950. We'll be back. Is your space aligned with your dreams? Do you feel inspired when you walk in the door? Carol Heider can help you create a space that you love, where you thrive, and where you always want to be. Using her 29 years of experience as a feng shui consultant, teacher, author, and trainer, she can help you bring forth the inspired essence of your home or office, making it a place where you feel whole and safe. Learn the specific feng shui adjustments that Carol has seen as the most important, such as determining which room in your home should be your favorite, why your stove may be affecting your health, and why your office may be holding you back. Contact Carol at 612-823-5093 or carolheider.com to discuss the specifics with a personal appointment. By elevating the energy of your space, it becomes sacred and you will be forever changed. Contact Carol at Carol Heider, that's CarolHeider.com. Discover Strains of the Earth, your go-to destination for all things holistic. This family-owned dispensary in Jordan and Carver offers a curated collection of high-quality mushroom products like gummies, tinctures, supplements, and more. Our knowledgeable staff members can guide you with expert recommendations and responsible usage tips. Explore the selections at strainsoftheearth.com and enjoy convenient delivery right to your home. Strains of the Earth, saving the world with mushrooms.
Welcome back.
It's like the three. Here we go.
We actually had some fun during the break. Welcome back, everybody. We were having fun with our producer, Patrick, who's such a good sport because literally Kelly looks at Patrick for most of these shows and she sees these pictures. And so she'll just bring Patrick in and tell him who's around him, and Patrick is trying to just kind of run the show.
He is running the show. Yeah, he is.
And Kelly's constantly trying to get him out of character. Anyway, here we are. We're back. We're with Janine. We're having so much fun. Janine, you really kind of set the stage for one of your many expertises, which is astrology. And you shared some really kind of huge insights for this year and what looks to be...
Walkie walkie, no more talkie talkie.
The next 3 years. Let's do this. I love how you set that up, Kelly, but then you didn't finish the joke.
Nope, you can finish it for me.
But Janine did. Janine jumped in and got it. It was good. I know. So Janine, what would you share with our audience to say, okay, I set the stage. Here's what the next period of time looks like. What would your invitation be to someone who heard you say that for what they could actually do? How could they participate in making the most out of this next period in time?
That's a great question. There's a couple ways. One of the main ways that I always invite my clients to work with, and myself, of course, is when we make our lists of things that we do, you know, the list of things to do, be really real honest with yourself, real true with yourself, and say, okay, what is on that list? What always inevitably gets the bottom of the list? What always kind of, even if it starts at the top, it gets brought all the way down to the bottom by the end of the day. So with Pluto, God of the underworld, he's at the bottom. And he's making sure all those little bits and pieces are not missed.
Scrubbing bubbles.
As to empower us, the scrubbing bubbles that empower us. Pluto is us. It's not some energy doing it to us. It's us saying, you know what? This guy's been going to the bottom of the list for a long time. Let's get it up and out. So it's not like that monster in the closet that even though you're moving forward and doing full steam ahead, this one little piece is kind of pulling energy. Anytime that there's things on the list that we haven't done, it's calling parts of us to it. So we want to be whole when we move forward. Unity consciousness, everything is transparent now. You know, we're breaking down walls. We don't have that closet that we shove everything in, that we don't have to look at. Don't walk near that closet door. Hey, we all have one, right? I got a couple. But the invitation here is go to that first. Whatever ends up on the bottom of your list, start with it. Because it will come.
I don't want to, though. I'm just telling you.
I know.
Well, and here,
I don't want to.
Here's the thing, Janine. It's such an important message, and I really hope that people are listening to what you're saying. Because in the next 3 years, it's important, but it's going to be important today and every day. Yes. And one of the ways that I'm always the person that tries to kind of elicit from someone like you or Kelly, and then I try to make it as practical as like reading instructions on a cereal box. Like, oh, I pour it in a bowl and then I add milk or oat milk or whatever. It's that simple. That's how I have to kind of navigate through life. Yeah. And so for me, pain, the way that it really helped me understand how important it is to pay attention to pain or pay attention to that thing at the bottom of the list is that age-old saying of the first time someone touches a stove. You actually want a child to actually do something like that because there's such an essential learning in, ouch, that really, really hurt, but the message is so clear, don't do that again. Yeah. Now, the thing that's at the bottom of your list, it might be a little more nuanced than don't touch a hot stove, but the message is as important. And I think if we understand it that way, we're much more likely to pay attention and to focus in on those pain points. So just kind of expand on that so that our audience can get better at dealing with those things.
So that's the most, that is so perfect. That it, yes.
It really
in
was.
That, why are those things that are on the front of your list the most important? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, you have children. We got to feed the kids. I mean, that's like top of the list.
Sometimes you have to keep them alive, though, and that's it.
No question about that, at least for me, right? Like, that's like number one. But, you know, why are the things on the top of your list that are there? And most times with myself, with my clients, The reason why those things are there is because it's kind of built into the fabric, the status quo of the old world that said these are the important things to be accepted. It's very primal to be in a group, to be quote unquote safe. We must do these things. And then we forget about the things at the bottom of the list, which are inevitably not the status quo per se. Most times it's an internalness. It's the emotional body. Did we listen to our emotional body today? Did we make space for were we clear with our mental body or our physical body or even our spiritual body? I often say each body is like a child. Do you have a black sheep? Do you have a favorite one? Let's balance all that out internally first. And when you tend to those every day, it's chipping it away. It's not these big quantum. I mean, please, I love big quantum leaps, but this is everyday little stuff. You know, answer the call to who you are here. And then not only are you doing it for you, but you're teaching the rest of the world how to do it. You're giving them permission and you're jumping out of the status quo. And that is the world that's crumbling. You're birthing the new world by doing that within.
Okay, I need a session with you. But for the other people... That also, tell us about your clients. Tell us about who shows up at your doorstep.
People who are serious about, they're ready. They're ready to do the work and perhaps they've done tons of work, but there's something there. They want to go a little deeper. They got to take it deep. I'm not afraid of deep. It's like, I'm go deep or go home and I will extract it. I'm like the poltergeist lady with the squeaky shoes. I don't know if you remember her.
Yep.
I'm like, just hold on, Carrie. And I got a little rope and then we dive in.
Right.
And then we pull ourselves back out of the trauma, which most 9 times out of 10 came from another lifetime. So we pluck, I call it the shamanic root. So people who want to go that deep, work that out. And then really the work again is to integrate that then into the dynamics of their life now. So if there's something been missing, well, perhaps this is it.
Janine, I'd love, this is so perfect because this is for me personally, one of the most important questions and activities and actions that I've been taking in my life. And I'd love to hear your perspective, how you do this with your clients and how you've navigated this for your own self. So most of my life, I have, I've understood that I have a shadow or there's this dark night of the soul, Joseph Campbell, you know, all these books and leaders and things that I've heard for, you know, 20, 25 years. But it wasn't until really recently where I understood that I had actually been shutting out my shadow. In other words, I had been under the impression that my shadow would destroy my life if I let him, you know, control my life. But what I've really realized is that my shadow is simply that part of me that is me and always will be me. And all he's ever wanted is for me to acknowledge him and for me to care about him and for me to acknowledge that we're on this adventure together. And it completely shifted everything in my world. It's not that like I had this tragic life before I realized that, but there was absolutely this disconnect. And so one of the practices that I've taken on is most days of the week, I actually write a love letter to my shadow every morning. And it has been a total shift in my world. So I could kind of see that that's what you were doing with your clients and you said it in your own words, but it sparked for me like, wow, I have to ask you because this is something that I've been doing. And I just want people to hear this from as many people as possible because it might not hit with how I shared it, but maybe it'll hit with how you share it because ultimately I think this is the most important invitation for anybody at any point in your life to be open to having a relationship with yourself and knowing that it has to be light and dark because everyone's trying to sell the light and it
the rainbows and unicorns.
Nope. It creates so much dysfunction.
You're right.
And disassociation, which in my opinion, causes all the problems. And so walk us through how you create that connection for yourself and for your clients.
Well, I always say the light side of the moon and the dark side of the moon are all the moon.
That's true.
Can't be the moon unless you have, you know, both sides of it. And there is a point in time, particularly with my Into the Mystic program, where, you know, a lot of people, they want to learn intuitiveness, whether it's for work or just to kind of guide them throughout their day. But when they get into that place of empty, empty is scary, because that's when, like you said, Brian, the shadow appears. It's not going to stop appearing until we do meet it. It's like the child that wants you to look at their picture, like, you know, mama, look at what I drew. I'm like, on the phone, mama. And then they have the fit and you look at it, you put the phone on, and then they're happy and they go away. So past lives and the trauma and the shadow, all the same thing. So I go in there with them and we go into each chakra. And I ask for the shamanic soul roots, the roots where they were splitting from unconsciousness, moving into consciousness, but they kind of chose away and they saw what happened. That's the main trauma source, could have been lifetimes ago, that really started a bunch of layers of discovery and exploration of how to balance things out. Once they do, we close down that timeline. I invite it in, but they get a name of the individual, they see the theme, and then we link it. I don't just look at past lives just to see. I link, why are you showing up? Why am I seeing this? It's what's happening in your life today to make this come up again. And then they could see it from more of an objective perspective. And then the tool then from that point on is they have the name of the individual, they have the story. And when it shows up, they say,
hello, old friend.
No. Hello there, bugger. I know you, but I'm safe, I'm free, and I'm loved. And the only way I'm going to move through this is drive through that same snowstorm, go through the same story, but realize it's not the same environment. It's not the same cosmic energy that's here. It's not the same me, because I have masteries as well that could meet the same trauma different. So really work with integrating that and placing that information, just like you do with the letters, placing it, but meeting it. And it's meeting the body, meeting the emotion, no longer detaching from that. Those are the black sheep children in within yourself. Go hug that child, man. Justice for all starts in here.
I love it. Okay. So you have Into the Mystic, which is your one-on-one mentoring. You have your private and full sessions. And
yes.
Something that I think I'm going to have to take advantage of, because I told you I need a session, is that you have a coupon code, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 1-1, for full sessions, and Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 7, for one-on-one mentoring of Into the Mystic. So those are some beautiful offerings. If people are curious to come check you out, what's your website? Spell it out for us, please.
Sure. It's JeanineKim.com, JeanineKim.com.
And we're just going to let everybody know, you're going to know you're at the right site, because there is a quote on here that is just flipping awesome, like on every level. This is a quote from one of our clients. Getting readings from Jeannie, and I'm, oh my gosh, I said it wrong, is like praying and then having God answer in English. Like, you guys, it doesn't get any better than that. And I just blew it because I can't say anyone's name. And that's
this
just
is
awesome.
A first, though. This is a first. This you is, did it at the end of the
I
show.
I did it at the end of the show. After we've heard it like 10, 15
things
times.
Things are shifting.
Things are shifting. You guys. And then that's her website. Check it out. There's offerings. There's codes. Full sessions, her channels. She's an astrologer. She is a lady to know, definitely to have on your team. Thank you so much for being here today as I slaughter your name. Oh my gosh. Lady, you are special, and we are just blessed that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me. I loved it. And you got my guide correct. And of course you got my name correct. I'm not worried at all.
Woohoo!
Thank you. I had a blast. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody. See you soon.